Welcome to the Geeky Grandma with an Encouraging Nudge podcast. Hi, my name is Jill McCarthy from Central New York State,
and this is our 62nd podcast. Okay, this morning our guest is named Cindy Burns, and I'm going to read her bio. Cindy is a widow with 6 grown sons. Her husband died 12 years ago, and she is now dedicating her life to helping other widows and widowers discover who they are, grow in confidence, and find their new purpose. She offers online coaching, one-to-one coaching, and group sessions. She has a private Facebook group called Widows and Widowers Support Group, Finding Purpose, and a Facebook page, Widows and Widowers Finding Purpose. Very good. Hi, Cindy, and I'm sorry for your loss.
Oh, thank you, Jo.
So it's pretty obvious where you're interest in widows and widowers. It's a club you'd rather not belong to, isn't it?
It's a club nobody wants to join. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So it's just tell us out that you have 6 sons. That's amazing. I have 4. Most people blink, go like this when they see me, but I'm sure you heard that over the years, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I kept getting asked, so you were training for a girl? And my reply was, no, I just kept getting pregnant.
Good answer. Tell us a little bit about your husband's loss and your loss, and then we'll go on from there.
Well, his was a fairly short illness, but it felt like forever. He was diagnosed on Mother's Day 2011 with stage 4 lung cancer, and he died August 2nd that year. So he was 4 or 5 months, and he was in the hospital for almost the entire time. I grieved like anybody else would, you know, after he died. And I tried to hide a lot of it from my sons because I didn't want them to worry about me. And I did them a disservice because they wanted to worry about me. They needed to. It was part of their grieving process. But things went as they did. And it was about 7 years later that I started feeling like I didn't know why I was still here. I was retired by then. My children didn't need me 24/7. You know, they were all adults by then. And I had no reason to get out of bed in the morning. And I sunk into a pit of despair and depression. Luckily, I recognized it. And I was, you know, I talked to my doctor, got put on some medications, which lucky for me, they were the first ones were the ones that worked. It does not, that's not always the case.
No, that doesn't always work that way.
But I still felt that, why am I even here, you know? And so I tried a bunch of different things looking for my purpose. And I kind of fell into life coaching. And I thought, well, who can I coach better than somebody, than people that have been, are going through what I've been through?
Right.
And I decided then and there that I wasn't going to let any widow or widower feel that, why am I still here if I could help?
Very good. I just want to stop and share a little story in the middle here that we did the pre-podcast we mentioned. And that was a story about my mom. And my mom became a widow late 50s. My dad was 63, so she was 58, 59, about 5 years younger. And she remembered herself going through that beginning part. You know, first we talked about that everybody's there for when it happens and the calling hours and maybe even brings meals for up to about 2 weeks. And about the time the cards stop coming, so do the people. And my mom kind of learned that you don't really need the extra intervention right that moment because there are people around. But when the cards stop coming and you finally have a furnace break or something that needs attention that you haven't dealt with before, then was the time that you needed somebody to call up and say, hey, let's go get coffee or do lunch. It doesn't have to be huge, but I see you and I know where you are right now. And you said that that was something that you found true too.
I think most widows and widowers go through that. The first couple weeks are you're kind of just going through the motions. You're on autopilot. And once you are kind of able to start feeling again, feeling like you want to talk about it and you need to talk about it, that's when people stop coming around as much. That's when we as widows, we feel that our friends have stopped getting in touch with us because they don't care anymore, or maybe they're feeling bothered by us talking about our grief. And that's not generally the case. It's usually that your friends are a little uncomfortable because they don't know what to say or do to help you. They may think that they're giving you space, whereas you're taking it as a slight.
Right.
So if you are going through that, if you have a friend or family member who is a widow or a widower, let them know that you're thinking about them, especially on days, the deceased person's birthday, the anniversary of their death, things like that, even their own birthdays. And then if you are the widow or widower, reach out to your friends. Let them know that you need them, that you want to talk, and just invite them over for, a movie and popcorn or a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
The communication works both ways.
Yeah, it works both ways. You have to speak up. It'd be nice if they knew that ahead of time, but they don't always have that knowledge. No. One thing I wanted to say or ask you about, maybe, as a widow, you need to say his name sometimes, right?
Oh, yes.
How can you, from your point of view, explain that to somebody who's not there, who says, oh, does she have to talk about him again? Tell me from your side, because I know you do.
Yeah, you not only have to say his name, you need to hear his name. You need to know that other people have not forgotten him as well. Now, my husband did not go to my church, and my church was my social life. So not too many people from the church knew him. So, of course, they didn't really talk about him. They didn't have any memories. But there were other people, family members that obviously did have memories, but they didn't keep in contact on a regular basis. And we talk about them because we need to keep them alive in our minds and in our hearts. And by mentioning their name and mentioning who they are, little things, little tiny memories that, oh, I just remembered this kind of thing. I had been feeling a little uncomfortable, wondering if I was talking about him too much. And so I asked my kids and I asked my daughter-in-law especially, and she was wonderful. She said, you were married for 33 years. Of course you're going to talk about him. She says, I don't mind hearing the stories and memories. And family is a little different. I don't know about friends and acquaintances.
I hope you're enjoying our guests on this episode. Just wanted to remind you that this episode is being brought to you by the Facebook group Empowering Women, where Jill McCarthy, myself, is the leader. And it is a safe place that facilitates belonging and yet encourages our uniqueness and individuality. Feel free to check it out. The links will be in the show notes. And now, back to the show.
I tended not to talk about him quite so much around other people.
But you had to find where was your balance on that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have to judge your audience.
Yeah, that's a wise words. How about your in-laws?
I'm very blessed. Both of my mother-in-law and father-in-law had previously died, but he had four sisters and two brothers, and they kept in contact with me. They lived in upstate New York in Syracuse.
Okay.
And we had been living in Virginia for about 15 years by then. So, couldn't pop over.
Right.
But they would call me. They would keep in touch via Facebook. Both of his brothers and his oldest sister have passed away now. The others still keep in touch via Facebook. We're not quite as often as they were. His oldest sister was the one who really kept in touch.
Right.
But yeah, they were wonderful people, and they still are, you know, the ones that are alive.
That's great. Sometimes that feels like it's fading away, and that can be hard when you were together more often. So,
and I've heard horror stories of people who thought they had good relationships with their in-laws, and everything fell apart after the funeral. You know, with there was backstabbing and, you know, rumors and all kinds of stuff. And you have to consider, was a widow or a widower, you have to consider that they're grieving as well. And maybe by being angry at you, it's their way of dealing with it. Because anger is a part of the grief process.
Right. That's a good perspective, because it takes a very mature woman and one who's grown through the process. Or otherwise you wouldn't have been able to say that.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of wish I hadn't needed to grow, but...
I hear you.
I think what I'm doing is very important, and I am blessed that I am able to do it. It gives my life meaning. It allows me to talk about him as much as I want. And if my experiences can help somebody else, then it's all good.
Yep. How about, where did the life coaching come in? What made you choose to go that route?
Well, I had tried several different things. I started in direct sales. I sold Mary Kay, which I don't wear makeup. I know they have skincare products too, but I just wasn't a good salesperson. Then I tried art. My husband was an artist. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe I can carry on his legacy by painting or drawing. Not at all. I'm a terrible artist. I have trouble with stick figures. But I had taken a drawing class. I had joined the local art club. And yeah, the socialization part of it was wonderful. You know, I got to meet people outside of my church. And but it just, I wasn't right for it.
Okay.
And it wasn't right for me. I kind of fell into the life coaching because somebody had mentioned life coaching. And I thought, well, that sounds interesting. I've kind of been coaching my children all their lives. And so I did a Google search on life coach. And the very first thing that popped up was life purpose coach. So I looked into the course and signed up for it and became certified as a life purpose coach, which allows me to help other people find their purpose. But in doing so, it helped me to find my purpose. And it wasn't just as a life purpose coach. I knew by the end of the course that I wanted to specialize in widowhood. That's how that came about.
Yeah. Well, tell us how that's bloomed as you've gone along.
Well, I now have a podcast of my own. It's called the Good Grief Podcast. And I interview people who have gone through grief and kind of come out the other side to do good for themselves and or others. I think that those stories aren't told enough. And it gives
right.
hope to people who are going through it.
I hope you're enjoying our speaker. Remember, you can find out more about her in the show notes, in her bio, and through her links. Remember, my links are also in the bio if you want to contact me. And now for our conclusion.
I've had a group coaching program. I do one-on-one coaching. I'm just gearing up to do a program, a webinar, I think. I think it's going to take this form of a webinar on getting through the holidays.
Okay.
Because it's hard, whether it's your first time or your 12th time, every year is different.
Yeah, it is. And I think the holiday memories maybe because of emotional involvement, and it's a lot of family time. I think those memories go in really deep, so it makes them even that much more painful to visit. Like, oh, yeah, there's that reminder again.
If I have one thing to state about the holidays, it's don't try to do everything. I mean, that's good advice to anybody to get through the holidays. Don't try to be super mom or, you know, the best baker in the world. You know, just do what you can and leave the other, you know, for next year or something.
Yeah, I heard you say that last week when we were talking. I thought, wow, what great advice, because like you said, nobody really has to do anything if they don't want to or it doesn't feel right. And if it changes, so be it. And family traditions, they can be a two-edged sword. They can draw you together, but there's a time, I always like to tell this story. It's not about grief, about this grandmother that used to cook a roast, and she always cut the end off the roast first and put it in her pan and baked it and glazed it and all of that stuff. And a young bride went to her mother, "Mom, how does your roast always come out so well?" And she says, "Well, I cut off the end and I put it in and I put the glaze on and I put it in the oven." And she says, but why? So she said, "I don't know. Let me go talk to your grandmother." They go to the grandmother and they say the story all over again. They talk about, "Grandma, you always cut the end off and put it in the pan and glaze it over." And the grandmother says, "You silly girls, I cut the end off because it didn't fit in my pan." And, you know, there are some traditions that come about because of something that no longer exists.
And sometimes traditions can feel like an obligation.
Yeah. And that's why it's okay, especially at life changes points, to revisit them and say, do I still want it or am I ready to do something different?
Yeah.
And it's okay. You're not being a poor relative. You're just doing what you can to get through the holidays.
And if you decide not to celebrate the holidays at all, you're not dismissing their memory. You're not being a bad Christian. I mean, obviously, if you're a believer, you believe in your heart anyway. You don't
right.
put up a Christmas tree to remember Christ.
Right.
So, you know, it's okay to bypass. If you've got children, young children, especially your grandchildren who rely on you on Christmas Day, then things are a little bit different. But you can always tone things down or do new things. If the old traditions bring up bad emotions for you one year, then create something new and different.
Yeah.
Now I've just delivered my webinar.
You just wrote your webinar? I think so. How are your groups going? Anything you want to share on that end?
Well, I do have the private Facebook group, and that is only for widows and widowers. One of the questions I ask when you join is, are you a widow or a widower? And you check mark a box. And I had somebody just today check mark the box, "I am neither." So obviously I didn't approve her getting in. I do always check back and look at their profile, no matter how they answer any of the questions.
Right.
I'm very protective of my people. They're at a vulnerable stage in their lives, no matter what stage of grief they're in.
Right.
They come there because they're vulnerable, because they want to belong to a community of people like them. They don't need to be preyed on by some creeper.
Right.
So I'm pretty protective. If I even suspect that somebody is that type, you know, if I get notices from some of the women in the group, especially, that a certain fella has been sending them instant messages wanting to take them out of Facebook or something like that, he gets banned. I don't even ask the question. He gets banned.
Well, your group is fortunate to have such a caring person, protective person there that...
Well, thank you. I think most widow and widower groups feel the same way. Now, there are some out there that are specifically for widows and widowers who want to date, who want to meet each other.
Right.
And it's wonderful. I don't want to have to admin a group like that and all it entails. It just kind of goes somewhere that I'm not comfortable with.
Well, it just isn't your niche. You healed them, helped. I don't, heal isn't a good word, but you helped.
No, you never heal from grief. It's always there just under the surface, and you never know what's going to trigger it. Even 12 years later, you know, there occasionally I'll hear a song that just chokes me up, or when I'm talking to, especially to another widower or widow, and they say something, oh, I'd forgotten about that. And that kind of, you know, that can choke me up a little bit. But I do have to say, I did have a man and a woman in my coaching group that fell in love. They started talking through the group, and then they started talking outside of the group. And they just told me a few weeks ago that they've fallen in love and she's moving to be closer to him. And yeah, so I take no credit for it. But
well, yeah, but if you've taken time to do some of the processing, then they were ready to move to that level. That's a different thing.
Yeah, so I'm very happy for them.
Do you have anything you want to share on your webinar? Or?
I think... I haven't decided yet. I think it's going to take place on the 18th. But if you are interested in it at all, you can sign up for the current freebie that I have on my website. It's a guided grief journal. And that way I'll have your email and address, and I can let you know once the webinar has been more solidified.
Oh, that's okay. I should have checked that ahead of time.
Oh, that's quite all right. I just decided to do it just the other day. So.
Okay. Well, we'll have your web address on the show notes, so that's good. Since this is the Geeky Grandma with an encouraging nudge, is there anything you would like to say to a widower or a widower out there?
There are a couple of things. First of all, there is life after death, yours. And you're not being disrespectful if you do whatever it takes to be happy. Your loved one would want you to be happy. So do whatever you can. Learn to dream again and learn to like yourself and to plan a future for yourself. And if you have trouble with that, talk to somebody. You don't have to do it alone. You can talk to a friend or a family member or a coach. And if you fall into that dark pit of despair that you're not coming out of, talk to your doctor.
Well, thank you for being my guest, and thank you for your tender heart and caring personality. So.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, bye-bye for now.
See you in the funny papers. Bye-bye for now.